From year to year, as I have opportunity to speak at the Bergen meeting, I have reiterated some things that have proved important in my own life, and things that I have heard and learned. And so I always do that. You have to forgive me. One of the things is, what God says is so, whether it seems so or not. Good place to begin. And what God says is in this book. This book is God's mind about everything. And this book will keep you from sin. Or sin will keep you from this book. This book is God's mind about everything. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And we're commanded. We ought to be of the same mind. The Scripture directs us to be like-minded in speaking concerning Christ. We sing sometimes, "Be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long, I will be like Jesus." Well, we ought to try to do that. We really can't. But it's wonderful to try. So this wonderful book, is God's mind. It is Jesus Christ in black and white. And we need regularly to look into this book. Because this book is God's mind. And so let's look at God's book, turning to the Epistle of James. Brother Champion left off with James chapter 1 and verse 19. I think we'll begin with verse 20. We don't like to leave any out. This is the Word of God, which is eternal, and it is the Logos, Logosmatic. I don't mean that in the sense that Dr. Seitler was talking about all of those, and notably the Platonic and the pantheistic results, but it's God's Word. Verse number 20. Let's read through verse 25. "If you would, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Our loving God, our Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee for that one. In the beginning was the Word. And today we read the truth of the Word, which is Christ, preserved for us in black and white. And it gives us a prescription. It tells us what we ought. We ask our Father that we might center on the book that we have, finding it faithful, knowing it to be true, that, O Father, knowing indeed that for us is of no count if we prove not faithful to the book, the doers of the word. So we pray, our Father, that that would this afternoon work in our hearts to convince and further, our Father, that we might prove faithful as not only hearers, but doers of the word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We have a lot of experience with the wrath of God. Here we have the wrath of man. Do we see any evidence of the wrath of man in the day in which we live? We see a lot of it. Dr. Seitler was censoring this morning. Dr. Hollowood censoring this morning on the fact that the wrath of man is much evident in the world in which we live. It worketh. It works in our societies. Certainly we see it rampant in our society in the United States. I'm sure that it's true also here in Canada. We have the productions of the most austere councils of our nations producing that which is wrath on the part of men, where God's word, where God's works, where God himself is concerned. And much of this takes place in the political arena, and we too closely limit and define sometimes when we're thinking about politics and the political arena and what all is involved. I was looking of curiosity in Webster's old dictionary. I think it's the 1828, and if you need to buy a dictionary in your house, that's the best one to buy. And I thought I'd look up politician there and find out that a politician is one who is ignorant of God's ways. I like that dictionary. And I'm afraid that today there's a lot of politicizing. I think that actually that came from Shakespeare. Shakespeare was the one who originally said that a politician was ignorant of God's ways, and they just picked it up and put it in the dictionary. And I don't think it's bad. But you know, every man seems to have his theory of what is true, and certainly we center. And it is our theme as we meet each year on the truth, on the person of truth, on what is the mind of God, on the book that is the representation of that mind. And we see at every turn there is the wrath of men that is running counter to that which God has said. That's the truth. And if we talk about the 1888 committee, we talk about the anglicizing. See, I'm politicizing now in the realm of textual criticism. The anglicizing of the Word of God. I mean Anglican Church. Of course, we have Old Smith Unitarian, so we have the Unitaricizing, you know. And I've got a whole list of them here. We have largely the influence that worked there was not so much the anglicizing, although they carried the ball, the fellows who wrote the play, you know, or developed the game plan. We could say that there was a lot of Catholicizing going on, could we not?
Amen.
Today, is it not true that we have a lot of pluricizing?
Right.
I've got one here. How about New Ageicizing? Oh, we did that 3 or 4 years ago, didn't we? All right. How about heathen-sizing? Heathen-sizing. Yes. Satanicizing. Is that real and alive in America, in Canada, today? Satanicizing? How about charismatizing? Charismatizing. There we go. I have a hard time with that one. I don't speak in tongues. despite old Gorbachev, we have communizing. Or we've had plenty of it, haven't we? They printed a Bible here about 15 years ago or so, and they dedicated on the frontispiece, and they printed 5,000 copies. The Russians did. And they dedicated to the greatest communist of all time, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I thought in the realm of the textual critic and coming to this issue of these doers of the word, and I'm really going to get there, that I wanted to say something about science-sizing. And how about the science of textual criticism? Because that's maybe where we park. You know, where politicizing is concerned, there is nothing that counts which stands in the way of the correct political outcome or the correct political agenda. Truth, for many of these people, is where they want to end up. It is not, thus saith the Lord. They devise, they contrive, they derive, they postulate, they form, they develop in terms of what their ultimate objective is. And it has very little to do with, thus saith the Lord. Now, I've got something here, see if I can locate it. I'd like to give you a new evangelical perspective. Now, that's not something that I'm personally well able to do, but let me pass one on to you. Take Bernard Ram, for instance. Well, maybe you don't want to take him. I don't know if that's Bernhard Ram someday or not. But here it is, and it's on page 29 of his The Christian View of Science and Scripture. You think he knows anything about that? And opposing hyper-orthodoxy. Have to be responsible people to do that, you know. Because they had criticized science. And so he builds up a straw man with a very iffy, contrary-to-fact kind of proposition. And then he asks the question. Here's the question. But would they really believe the Bible if at every point the Bible and science conflicted? Now, let's postulate the axioms on this iffy kind of proposition and give him a categorical answer. All the Bible is from God. We can agree upon that. And all science of textual criticism, is from man. Maybe you think I'm taking some liberty. I don't believe it. And all of the science of textual criticism is from man. Therefore, if all of the Bible which is from God conflicts with all of the science of textual criticism which comes from man, let God be true and every man a liar. That's where we have to stand. That's what the issue is. But you know, the challenge remains for you and for me beyond that which we initiate here in the wrath of man working not the righteousness of God. They're not working the righteousness of God. But we're challenged, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all the filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. You know, I like that lay apart. Yeah. Yeah. That's an aorist, isn't it? Once and for all. Get it done with. Don't go back and keep dabbling in these things. If you settle these issues before the Lord, stay there. Then the engrafted word. I lived on a farm where there was a little orchard for some time, and I know a little bit about grafting. And I know sometimes there's some pretty wicked roots out there, and the grafter can come along and he can put in something that's of some real substance and some real value. And aren't we all real happy about that? the work that God has done, and that which he has engrafted. And you and I have the engrafted word. Now that's God's law. That's the sword of the Spirit. Aren't we delighted here this afternoon that that is not a malleable text? Residual. We have it. The engrafted word. Receive. Oh, I missed it. Receive with meekness. By the way, that's not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. And there we must not be. We must be strong, but we must be meek. The engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Praise God. But be ye doers of the word. Do it. Be doers of the word. Not hearers only. Deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. Oh. Kind of something kind of interesting here of what happens. You know that the major reason that a lot of these fellas, and I'm talking about Bernard Ram and Mr. Metzger and Kurt Allen and many of the others of them, are having the problems that they are, I'm afraid it has to do in this realm of doing. What is the quality of the spiritual life of the man who is the textual critic most of the time? You say, oh, you don't have any, you be careful now, you're moving into bad territory. Do you know what heresy is? Do evil communications corrupt good manners? Sometimes we go to Germany, or who do we run with, or what do we read, or what happens? I happened on something very interesting with respect to heresy. From Hilary Belloc, and I want to read it to you. Heresy, he says, is a dislocation of some complete and self-supporting scheme by the introduction of a novel denial of some essential part therein. We mean by a complete and self-supporting scheme any system of affirmation in physics or mathematics or philosophy or whatnot, the various parts of which are coherent and sustain each other. Well, God's Word is a complete, it is complete, it is self-sustaining, no doubt about that. Our Word interprets itself. But you know, when heresy enters in, that heresy dislocates is, as Mr. Belloc said, the introduction of the denial. Here it is, that God's Word is malleable. That's the introduction. They believe that God's Word is malleable. They believe they can change it. They believe they can make some improvements. They believe that they can move on that issue. It's not true. They cannot do it. They do it. He also said, the denial of the scheme wholesale is not heresy. You don't find these fellows saying the Bible is not true, do you? Not wholesale. Not wholesale. It is of the essence of heresy, mark this well, that it leaves standing a great part of the structure it attacks. On this account, it can appeal to believers. Wherefore, it is said of heresies that they survive by the truths they retain. They survive by the truths that they retain. You see, if these men were doers of the word, they would have confirmation in their lives of the truth of God's word. They would come to revere and to honor it. They would practice it. But not practicing it That which it is that that cometh out of a man that defileth a man. And the gradualism comes in, the heresy takes over. It becomes the doctrine. We have a wonderful example of this of late in the United States of America in terms of a recent court decision that affirmed, in some measure, the pro-abortion decision of what we call Roe versus Wade. Now, the explanation for the majority opinion was that it was rooted in the mandate of the Constitution of the United States. That is manifestly not true. That is contrived. They cannot point to chapter and verse in no respect. And that maybe is the problem overall, and maybe I'll digress. What kind of time do I have left, Dr. Wade?
Four more minutes. 2 minutes for the ballot, two more
on. Oh, all right, I'll take it all. Here's the issue. In this country, I'm in Canada, in the United States of America, in the early days to the formation of the Union and the Constitution, the lawyers in that land universally, until 1830, all of them took religious training before ever they studied for law. Do you know why? Because this is the law.
Amen.
And that's why that happened.
Yes.
But you see, from 1830 on, we got a plastic nose. Yes. We can turn it and do anything. We introduced the heresy that was at one point overcome in terms of King John, who found himself with the Magna Carta under the law instead of on top of the law. And the same thing has happened in the realm of the political, as has happened where the Word of God is concerned, that men have put themselves on top of the Word of God. They came to that place comfortably because of their own practice. They were not doers of the Word. That's my point. So it was very easy, not being doers of the Word, to conform the Word to what their rotten practice was. And that's exactly what happened. Now, I've got to finish in the few moments that are here. 23. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding the natural, his natural face in a glass. He looks in the Word of God, it's a mirror, he sees himself, he's not what he ought to be. He can't take the law and scrub his face, can he? Not by works of righteousness. God can do a work in his heart. He can make a difference. We can have the best law in the world, but if we do not effectively employ it in terms of changing our behavior by the work of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, the best law, the best constitution, the best treatise, the Word of God itself cannot be effective in our lives until we employ it. We become doers of the Word. That can happen. It ought to. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law, the absolute law of liberty, not freedom. Important difference. This is a book of liberty. It's got some oughts-nots in here and some oughts, things we ought to do and ought not. We are not free. We are under liberty. Important difference. And continueth therein. Don't just start there and leave it. He being not a forgetful hearer. Oh, how often we hear and get all revved up about it and go on forgetting. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the... Doesn't say word, does it? It says work. Doers do work. Do we do what the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to do? Do we do what He did? Do we do what's laid out in the Word of God? Is that the pattern? Is that the program? Is that what we ought to do? This man shall be blessed in his deed. Oh, how I love thy law. Oh. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, on discussing the problem of Israel many years ago. And he said the problem was really not with the enemies of God. That wasn't really what the problem was. And the problem was not with those who fought in the Israeli army. The problem was with the Betweenites. You ever heard of them? The Betweenites. That's really where the problem was. And they couldn't make up their mind. Oh, they were trying to. They were the textual critics, really, of the day. They were criticizing what, you know, was it Moses? Was it Joshua? Whoever, what they were doing. No, we ought to have a committee. No wonder they never got out of the wilderness, you know. Ought to have a committee. Can't make it. And so they were the betweenites. And they introduced all kinds of heresies, and then Moses apologized for some of them, and Joshua too, in time to come. But that with which Joshua charged the betweenites is the same thing that we need to charge the textual critics with and those who fail in the doing of the Word of God. And we need to challenge them with it. This is the most important thing we can challenge. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. This book is his mind. That's the work. These are the deeds that we are to be doing. And if we are found doing these things, we'll come answering correctly the real question. The real question is not, how faithful is this book? You and I have solved that issue for ourselves. We don't have any problem with that in this society. No problem at all. Not how faithful is this book. We know that. But how faithful are we to this book? How faithful are we to this book? Let's not forget, the Word says, be ye doers of the Word.